anybody else got one, Jan? No. Carolyn, you got one you'll share with us? That's great. Yeah. That is great. She always gives a sermon. That's great. She always has a sermon. We're in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus, many of you will agree, Jesus is probably one of the smartest preachers you ever heard. We're going to look at this verse 15 and try to grasp a little of what he is saying here. In these verses before this, he has said, now, if you're going to live a Christian life, I'll give you the key to making the Christian life work. He said, number one, you got to learn to pray. You ought to, I'm not too set on just praying at a certain time every day. That if that's the only time you got, then I'll take that. See? But you need to learn to pray. Most people, if you called on to pray out in public, would be scared. And it's because they're standing up talking to somebody they can't see. sound kind of strange to them to think, I'm talking to somebody here I can't see. I'm not really sure they're there and whatever. And so I'm talking to them. Praying is not, it has a lot of faith in it. You got to believe while you're praying because you're not going to see them with your natural eye. It'd be good to, if you drive, if you'd learn to pray some when you're driving. You may need it more than you think right there when you're driving. I mean, with all the things going on around you, you may need a lot of prayer. But you could pray while you're driving. It's a good thing. Get so that you talk to the Lord, not try to instruct Him or something like that. Just that you talk to the Lord. See, he's glad to hear from you. So if you learn to pray, Jesus said you've got to pray. Jesus Himself, He's got a rhythm in His life. When you read the Gospels, Jesus would go on an evangelistic campaign, and people would get healed and saved and all this different stuff. Then He'd take His disciples off, and He'd sit down and say, now let's study some. I'm going to teach you some stuff about so-and-so. It's like our Sunday school lessons where He's coming to now in the 13th chapter of John. From John chapter 13 on, He sets His disciples down. He says, now, I'm going to teach you back from 12 all the way back. He was doing things in a public way. Then He says, now I've got to teach you all about the Christian life. And so He sat down and started teaching them about, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to send another comforter, so forth, so forth. I want you to become like one and all, and say, and He teaches you. And that's really important. So, you've got to learn to pray. Jesus said that is one of the things that will provide power for you to live the Christian life. And the other thing, which is probably even more difficult than praying, He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, He said there's power in that. If you can learn to pick out somebody here in church you don't like, I know there's six or eight of them, but get two of them or one or something, you know, you think, I don't like that person. Now, pick them out and start working on, I'm going to learn to love them. Not because they're ugly or because they're fat or because they're tall or because they're short or whatever. You just think, I'm gonna learn to love them. I'm going to see you doing it for yourself. You know, it don't matter who they are. You think, I don't know whether I help them or not because I'm working on myself here. See, to love somebody that you think, I never thought I'd hear about anybody like that. See? Now, Jesus loved people, and it was in this morning's Sunday school lesson. The Bible says this, He loved them to the end. He loved them to the end, which means He went to the complete. There was no farther to go. He gave His life for them. See, no farther to go. Now, He didn't love them because Peter was a brat, and He didn't love them because Judas was a traitor. He didn't love them for what they were doing. He loved them out of His own self. See, He loved them because that was His ministry, to love people. See, you don't love people just because they do certain things to you. He says, no, you've got to have this kind of power in your Christian life. Learn to love people. Learn to pray. Prayer, looking up toward Him, people is kind of out this way. See? Now He says, how can you say that you love God if you do not love your neighbor or your fellow man or Christian? You cannot say, I love God if you don't love fellow man. If you love God, good possibility you can love your fellow man. And if a Christian never gets where they can love people, you got a winner going. See, if you can get where you love people. Because nobody can't defeat you if you love them. See, I mean, people tell you, people get mad at you. And do you ever get mad at your mommy and she'd pat you on the head and say, yeah, but I love you. And you say, God, what am I going to say now? I mean, see, it just kind of melts you down. You're like, well, what are you going to do? See. Now, Jesus is saying love is really powerful stuff. He did that. Now that got us down to where men you are. Now he says you need to pray, you need to love people. Then he got to verse 15 of this chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. And here's what he said. Beware false prophets. Did you ever say beware? It's interesting. Now, well, I guess if me and you were really interpreting, we would say something. Watch out for false prophets. Well, they don't really bother you. Here's what beware means. I just wish we had more words than what we got to be able to explain something. Here's what beware means. It don't mean watch out, watch out. They can't hurt you. Beware means this. Do not grab what they've got and hold it to yourself. Now that's when it hurts you. The false prophets, do you believe there's any false prophets in the world? Shake your head. Huh? Now they can't hurt you unless you reach out and get what they got and pull it to you. You see? They can hurt you. So Jesus says, don't pull their teaching to you. Don't pull it to you. He's not saying, watch out for it, watch out for it. He is saying that, but that's not what beware means here. It means just don't grasp it. And it's amazing how people can tell yarns. I've noticed it in preaching. I can tell a story. This little dog went across the road and got run over a car and so forth and on there. And after church, they come up and say, that's one of the saddest stories I've heard about that little dog getting killed. You think, God, wasn't much scripture in that, was it? It's amazing how, see, if you don't watch, you reach out and grasp some story, some teaching. Listen to Jesus. Beware of false prophets. You reach out and get some teaching that don't really help you at all and hold it to yourself. He says, watch that kind of stuff. Because it's a false faith stuff. It's not really going. See, you got to get meat. Y'all reading me? You got to get meat. See? Can't drink milk all your life. You got to get where you can get some meat. See? And you cannot. So he says, beware false prophets. Now, it's interesting that Jesus says this. Because God has picked the method of teaching, talking, preaching, whatever you want to call it. He's picked that method of getting people saved. What is that verse in Corinthians about through the foolishness of preaching, he does what? Yeah. Well, he confounds the wise, but what does he do with preaching? What does he do with preaching? Not just confuse people. What does he do with preaching? Surely you Christians know that. That's how people get what? They get saved. See? God has chosen. Now listen, he's telling you, beware of false prophets. False prophets means something that's not sincere, something that don't really get the job. He said, beware of that. Because we studied, Balaam, Jezebel. Jezebel ain't here tonight, is she? Ann ain't never going to get over y'all calling her Jezebel. I told her, I said, don't worry about it. Them people don't know what they're talking about, no way, yeah. But anyway, the Christian life, the whole Christian spectrum. Listen to John when he starts his book. How does he start? In the beginning was Word, at Word. And he made all things through the Word. He created everything by his Word. He gets people saved by his Word. You see, now do you know why Jesus said, watch false prophet, because words have a way of guiding you and leading you. And it watch, he says, watch. Don't hold it to you. Because if you get false don't mean lying necessarily. See, because some of them think they're really telling the truth of it. See, false prophet means insincere. That's what the word means. See, the fault means that it is not real stuff. Let me. Here's me acting real intelligent. Here's what the word really means. It comes from the ideal that you're going to sell a piece of silver or gold, something that's very precious, or a diamond, something that's very precious. Now, the word false, don't just mean you're telling lies. It comes from the ideal. Here is a diamond, but there is a flaw in it, and they get a piece of dough or clay or something, and they put it in that flaw, and it's not real all the way through. It's got a flaw in it, and it causes the value of the diamond or the piece of gold or silver, what it causes the value of that to go down, and it's not as valuable as you thought it was, because they have put some false stuff in it. See, in among them. They make it look pretty. Everything look like it's real. Just everything's right there. Even got some. See, they can't tell you. I don't know what a barefaced lie is. What's a barefaced lie, Pat? You hear people say, "You just that's just a barefaced lie." And you think, "What's a barefaced lie?" Must be real obvious or something, huh? Well, anyway, see, when a person is trying to lead you astray, they're not going to tell you just barefaced lies, because, I mean, you catch that right off. See, they're going to give you a false, and false means they're going to mix this stuff in it, and it's not going to really accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish, because it's got fake stuff mixed in it. See, that's what the word false means. See, that you got a little of the gold, you got a little of the gold or the silver or the little of the diamond or whatever it is you got that's real precious, but it's all messed up because this other stuff mixed in with it, so it's all messed up. Now listen, Jesus. Do not hold to yourself things that have been flaws in it, and it has to do with preaching, talking, words, watch who you listen to. See? Now, if you will start going to church praying and start wanting to know something about the Lord, you can almost detect, even if you ain't as smart as Dave, you can almost detect something that's not ringing true. Y'all get me? You don't have to be all that smart if you learn to listen. Now, most people don't listen. See, you, for instance, when somebody gets up to sing a song, if they really sing it being led by the Lord and the Lord's helping them and whatever, now, if you will listen, then you will get something out of that song. See, you will get a blessing out of that song. Now, most of the time, when people are like listening to a song, it just sails over their head. And they're sitting there like, "My nails I need to polish them." And are you finished singing yet? I'm going to slip out of here and get in the bathroom some way. And the song just sailed right over their head and went by. And listen, you have to learn to listen. You think, "I can hear ye." You don't hear it unless you're H-E-E-D-I-N-G. That's the only time you can prove you're hearing. See, is when you're heeding, when you do. The word disciple is a learner. It's a student. It's a pupil. But it means more than that. It means I learn this and I'm going to practice it. Now, if you say, "I'm a disciple, I learn this, but don't count on me practicing," that's not a true disciple. Listen to Jesus. If you want to come after me, me, my disciple, what do you do? Just listen to what I say? What does he say? If you want to come after me, be my disciple, you must do what? Can you name anything he said? H-A- F A T hate your father and your mother and your sister and your brother. That's doing something. That's not just listening. You want to be a disciple of mine? You must hate your father, mother, brother, sister, yea, even your own life. See, or set. That's doing something. You say, Jesse, I know the Bible far and back. I know some people that know it. And I never will forget that fellow in Illinois. He said, I read the Bible through 7 times. I said, man, that's great. He said, you know Moses married a nigger. Now, I wanted to hit him. See, that's just a open ignorance. I mean, read the whole Bible through, and he's learned that one thing. See, it's amazing how people go to church and walk out of there and say, here's what I got out of church. And you say, did that happen in there? You say, yeah, that's what I got out of it. And it's amazing. Now, listen to Jesus. Beware, watch. Watch what kind of teaching you pull to yourself. Because if you pull false teaching there, you can have problems. And if you pull it up there, which means I believe that. I hear you. I believe it. I pull it to myself. I'm going to accept it. Okay, I pull it to myself. Now, let's watch. Beware of false prophets. They come to you looking like what? No, they don't look like that. Now, what do they look like? Huh? Yeah, they look like sheep just crawling on the sheep. But inside that sheepskin is a raving wolf. He said, watch. He said, see, I know Jesse looks good and everything. Watch what he says. Watch what he, judge him by what he says. So Jesus said, watch, beware of what you pull to yourself, because if it's got fake stuff in it, it will make you sick. See? If you got medicine that ain't got the real stuff in it, got fake stuff in it, make you sick. Don't pull it to yourself. So Jesus is saying here, see, when you read Paul will say like this, God gave to the church apostles. Secondly, he gave to the church, what's next? The prophets. Then he gave to the church preachers, okay, pastors, yeah, pastors. Now he gave to the church, or evangelists. Then he gave to the church teachers. You notice all this is talking? All this is talking. All of it. Now Jesus said, beware of prophets. What do prophets do? They talk. They use words. He said, watch. And it's interesting, God said, this is where I'm going to keep my church going. This is where I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to give it teachers. I'm going to give it pastors. I'm going to give it prophets. I'm going to give it evangelists. They're going to keep them going. They're going to keep them up, getting up there and hollering, go, man! Go, man! Go! Go, man! That's what I'm going to have them doing. They're going to be out there hollering all the time. Go, man! Go get them! Go get them! Go into all the world! Preach the gospel, everybody! Go, go! God said, that's where I'm going to run my church. Now watch and don't pull something to you that ain't got real stuff in it. Because they're out there. Jesus, he warned his disciples over and over and over that the false prophets were there. And he says, they're all dressed up. And they look like, what? They look like sheep. They look like sheep. You're like, man, a sheep is one of the most, what? Docile. Is that a good one? I don't even know what it means, Will. And these women say, yeah, that's a good word. Yeah. Anyway. See, he said, just watching these false prophets, he said, they dress up, look just like sheep. So they're kind of hard to tell. You say, Jesse, how am I going to tell? John will tell you over in the 4th chapter, 1st epistle of John. Turn over. You all need to wake up anyway. Wake up. Turn over. 1st epistle of John. Give me another word for epistle. All right. You all getting to be Bible scholars. It's amazing. 1st epistle of John, chapter 4. I believe I'm right. If I ain't right, somebody can correct me. Nobody corrected me this morning. I went back and preached out of the 2nd chapter of Revelation. I suppose it's been the 3rd chapter. When I got home, I couldn't believe that. When I flipped my Bible page, it was out of whack somewhere. And, I kept thinking, they have but 6 verses on Sardis, and I'm in verse 19. Yeah, I mean, that runs through my head. You got to watch these people, what they say. You got to watch these prophets. I noticed people getting up, wanting to go home and everything. They probably thought, well, he started again on another. He thinks he's in next week's lesson or something. But anyway, it didn't. Now, what are we looking at now? What was it? I got off. Huh? Oh, 1 John 4. Who's got it? Raise your hand. Read it, Mike, good and loud. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. We'll stop you. All right. Now let me ask you. Right there. Y'all looking at it, ain't you? How can you know when a preacher's true? What's one of the tests that you give? Look at the scripture. Just say what the scripture says. If he says what? Huh? All right. See, if he says Jesus, this man Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. If he says this man Jesus is the Christ, then he's okay. Now, if he don't say that, he ain't okay. John said, lay it down. And John was concerned. John's whole sermon in the first epistle, I hate to get into it. I've chased these rabbits, but anyway, if I don't get you. In the Gospel of John, see, there were people who said, now Jesus was a man, but he wasn't God. So John wrote his first sermon. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, so he said, I'm telling you, Jesus was God. Now, he wrote the first epistle. That's where many are reading now. Because there's some people who said, Jesus was God, but he was not a man. And John said, if anybody gets up and preaches that Jesus was not a man, see, that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, that he wasn't a man, anybody who says that just says he was God and won't say he was a man, he said he's false prophet. Testing of that. Now, you can. So here's what your test is. How does this fellow look at Jesus? Then you can know whether he's true or not. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, "Now, when the Holy Spirit's come, he will testify of." Now, when somebody is tooting their own horn, then that's easy to do. When you're tooting your own horn, you got off in left field preaching the gospel. And you have to watch it, because I've done so many marvelous, wonderful things. I'm standing up and telling you how wonderful, marvelous I am. Now, when somebody gets off into that, say, wait a minute, I believe you're mixing a little bit of dough in with the real stuff here. Now, they'll always come back and say, but the Lord was happy mixing. You think, I got the impression you were doing it all by yourself. Then he happened to think, well, if I don't put that in there, you know, they don't think I'm very religious. And so John said, when you listen to a fellow preach, sit there and listen. What's he doing for Jesus? What's he saying about Jesus? And then, because it don't matter about him, me, and you, and the dogs and cats and all. See, that when it comes to preaching, he's the only one that matters anything about. See, you need to be telling something about him. That's why old Pastor Mason wouldn't let us sing. We used to. I never will forget the first time he got up and said, "I don't want to ever hear that song in this church again." And they got up, "Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory." He said, "I don't want to ever hear that song in this church again." Because Jesus did not go to build cabins. And we don't want to give no impression that he went to build cabins. So just sing another song. We've got plenty of them can be sung besides singing, "Build Me a Cabin in the Corner of Glory." Well, I think he's probably right. You don't see, when you get up and talk, you know. Now you know what the songwriter was doing. "I am so humble, if I can just crawl in there, I don't care if it's a cabin or a mud hut." I just get, see, you think, you're talking about yourself. See, you're talking about how humble you are and how lowly you feel and all that, and you think that makes you look great. But old Pastor Mason didn't think it made you look great. He thought you was making the Lord look bad. And so he said, "We're not going to sing that song no more." And I like that song, don't you, Carol? No, I do too. But he's dead, so he won't get us. But he was one. "Beware false prophets, come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves." Now let me mention two or three things to you, okay? Number one, false prophets do dress up. They look good. False prophets, you need to kind of keep some of this in your thinking. False prophets ordinarily don't have a straight gaze. They have a wide gaze. They do it. They're not too strict. They do a wide, you can get in with almost anything. I got old Jackie led singing. And I've told you all this before, but I'm an old man. You just have to put up with me. This man come to church on a Sunday night, and he come up to me, and he said, "I got my boy with me." I didn't know him. "I got my boy with me. He wants to sing a song." I said, "I don't fool with that stuff. You see Jack over there. He wants to let him sing while he's singing." Well, Jack said, "Yeah, we don't care." Jack sang a song. And he said, "We got a young fellow here, he's gonna come up and sing a song." That little boy got up and stood on the floor. I knew we'll get out sitting on the front. And Jack come down and sat down beside me, and then him sitting beside one on the front row. That little boy right back, he said, "Oh, my bucket's got a hole in it." I thought Jack would fall off of the floor and call up a "Buddy, I'm glad I didn't give that the right to say." Now, false prophets do come dressed up. They come looking good. See? So he says, watch, and test them. Listen to what they say, and hear what they got to say. Now, a false prophet don't have a straight gaze. He can put up with almost anything. See, he don't really bother. He's got a wide gate and everything. Now, a false prophet, he deals mostly with outside stuff that you can see, and you don't deal too much with inside stuff that only you know about. You don't deal too much with that. Now, the only thing that's really going to help you is has to come from in here. Jesus said, it's not what a fella puts in that defiles him. It is what comes out that defiles him. So the inward man, if you can keep him straightened up, your mouth will talk right. you keep the inward man straightened up, your hands will act right. Your eyes will see right. Your ears will hear right. But if you get the inward man off, all these other things start getting off too, because they're controlled from right in here. Jesus said the best way not to ever kill anybody is don't let anger get started in your heart. Because if it gets started in your heart, it will get up in your mouth. And if you get it in your mouth, it will get in your hand. And if you get it in your hands, you'll probably hurt somebody. Now Jesus said the way to stop murder is drop it down here and it don't ever get in your mouth and your hands and you won't ever hurt nobody. Now Jesus said, you heard him talk about lusting. He said, lust starts down here. He said, where you want to stop it at is right there where it starts. If you stop it there, then it won't ever get in your eyeballs, your hands, and whatever that it leads you to. See, if you stop it there, it won't get out there. Jesus dealt with the inside. He said, that's what you got to watch, the inside. Now, nobody else can take care of that but you and him. See, you and him. Nobody else. See, you can look at me, and I like you, Brother Jesse. I hate him. I wouldn't know the difference. But you can't pull that trick on him. God looks on he's got his eye on your heart. And he's leaning on your heart, so you can't trick it too much. Now, false prophet. All right, you ready for my little sermon? And we got it. There you go. Here's my little sermon. False prophets produce false righteousness. I had a fellow come here at church not too long ago. He said, what do y'all believe about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? And I said, why? See, when you find people who want to get in an argument, he didn't start no argument with me because I didn't. I don't argue with fools. And I don't argue with smart people. I don't even argue with Bernie. I don't know where she fits at. Oh, you smart. Okay. But anyway, I don't. You never win an argument. Now, you can present your side, but you never win an argument. All you can do is present your side. You don't ever come out a winner. See? Because arguments are not made for somebody to win. You just get to present your side if you have an argument. Most husbands and wives can't have an argument because one of them says, shut up, and you won't. And so they don't get to present their side. See? And so you think, we don't have arguments. Well, why? Because I tell them, shut up. So you can't have an argument unless both sides get to present their argument. See? So, now listen, this is what Jesus is saying. False teaching produces false righteousness. See? People will think they're right. If they pull false teaching to themselves, they will think they're right, and they will be doing things that they think are right. You've seen it all your life. You just didn't recognize it. It's amazing how many people doing stuff, and they think, I'm right. I'm doing right. And you think, well, let's lay the Bible down here and see. And if you laid the Bible down there, they'd be way out in left field. But see, they're convinced, I'm doing right. Now, they're doing right in their own eyes, but it's a false righteousness. It's a righteousness, but it's got, see, and they may be ignorant of what they, but it's a false righteousness. It's not, it ain't good stuff through and through and through and through. See, Jesus said, do not pull false teaching to your heart, because if you do, you will produce false righteousness. And false righteousness will not get you too far. See, you'll be insincere. It's hard to know whether people are sincere or not. But scads and scads of people do things and they try to act like I'm real serious about this. I'm real sincere about this. And if you kind of look them in the eye, you think, I don't much believe you are. Now that's what false teaching will do for you. And they may even think they're sincere. And it not come out. You have to watch teaching. See, I growed up a Baptist. And I used to ask them questions. See, I can ask you a question about it. Now, Baptists teach, you baptize people up here, they get saved, and you baptize people. And you ask them why. They'll tell you three or four different reasons why. You say, well, which one am I supposed to believe? They can believe whichever one you want to. Well, what kind of answer is that? Now, if Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is that important then? Sure it is. He wouldn't have said it. Now, he said, after you get them to believe, baptize them. Is baptizing important? No, it's important. How important is it? I don't know. See, now, some of them say, well, baptism fixes it so you can join church. You can't join church if you ain't been baptized. And that's true. Nobody wants you. I mean, you have Methodist, Catholic, Baptist, anybody. They say, hey, you been baptized? No. You can't join church until you get baptized. Now, all of them agree to that. And some of them, even frankly, you can call it baptizing. See? But they all agree. You can't join church until you get some signature that says baptized some way. And so I've heard preachers get up and say, baptism is the door to the church. That's what it is. Well, is it? I don't know. You can't join church till you get baptized. So is it the door to church? I don't know. See, I've asked them these questions. Is it? See? Now, I growed up, Baptist said, if you ain't ordained and like a pastor of church, you can't baptize nobody. The church has to authorize you to baptize somebody. Or it's not a good authorization. I heard that all my life. I asked one of the old pastors, I said, do you remember when Philip was out there running that race with that chariot in the desert? Remember that? Y'all remember that? The book of Acts? He's just a deacon. He wasn't no pastor. He wasn't no ordained pastor or nothing. He's just a deacon. And he's out there chasing that chariot. And that old boy stopped, and he said, what are you reading there, bud? And he said, I'm reading Isaiah. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, well, no, not really. Somebody tell me something, I would. He said, I'll tell you. So he got up there and told him. So, and he explained to him it was Jesus and so forth. And he said, hey, I believe that. What's keeping me from being baptized? Philip said, ain't nothing keeping you from being baptized if you believe it. He said, I believe it. He said, get down out of this chariot, and I'll baptize you. Now, Baptist says, no, you can't do that. Well, are you saying this fellow's wrong? Oh. See, they say, if you ain't an ordained preacher, you can't baptize nobody. Well, here was one wasn't an ordained preacher. And he baptized a fellow out there and didn't even get a vote of the church on him. He just said, get down, I'll baptize you right now. They come up to John the Baptist, and they said, who gave you the authority to baptize? You know who John said, where he got his authority? You know where he said he got it? Where? No, I didn't get it from no Sanhedrin court. Didn't get it from Hamel's school. Didn't get nobody ordained me, John the Baptist said. Didn't ordain me. I'm out here ducking them. Everybody that repents, I duck them. You say, Jesse, what is baptism? I don't know. You tell me, please. See, there's lots of stuff. It's not that easy, but there's people who will talk to you as though, I got the answer. I know the answer. This is the full answer. Now, I know it's important, so I'll hang it right there. If you get saved, y'all be baptized. I know people who think, I got saved, but I ain't never been baptized. I got doubts. Now, not because it's me or because it's you, but because the Bible says, when you're reading the Bible, when people got saved, they got baptized. I mean, you read it, just read it wrong through. When they got saved, they got baptized. You say, what for? I don't know. But I know they got baptized when they got saved. And you say, I'm saved, but I ain't going to get baptized. Okay. argue with you, can I? And it's amazing. It's amazing. See, Jesus said, now watch what you hear. Watch what you hear people teaching. Because you got to have somebody who's got a straight gate, narrow way. See, somebody teaching a straight gate, narrow way. If they're teaching a wide gate, a broad way, where are they headed? To destruction. If they teach a straight gate, narrow way, where are they headed? Jesus said, just watch and see what they're doing. Don't pull anything to your heart until you find out what they're doing. So, yeah, watch it. It'll produce false righteousness. And false righteousness is people doing righteous stuff, trying to get somebody to look at them and brag on them. See, that's false righteousness. Jesus said, that ain't good righteousness. You may be doing a righteous act. You say, I gave that old boy my coat. That might be a good thing. But if you did it so somebody see you, now it may be righteous, but it was F-A-L-S-E. It was false righteousness. Had a fault to it. See? So it don't really come out pure. See? Because of the way you gave it. See? You did a righteous deed, but it didn't come out good. Jesus said this, when you are doing your alms, don't let your right hand know what your, what's that mean? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing when you start doing righteous deeds. So false preaching will produce false righteousness. Number two, false preaching will produce bad fruit. Now we didn't get to that, but we will next time. False preaching will produce bad fruit. Jesus said, you can look at a tree, know about the fruit. And he said, if you got false prophets, they will produce fruit, but it will be bad fruit. They'll have worms in it. Well, Jesus didn't say that, I'm saying that. You know what's worse than finding a worm in an apple, don't you, Janet? Huh? What's worse than finding a worm in an apple? Huh? Okay. Find a half a worm. When you find a half a worm, you think, hey, that's wonderful. I'll just eat a half worm. Anyway, Jesus said, false teaching produces bad fruit. See? God has fixed it in nature to produce after its kind. False teaching produces false actions. It produces. That's what it does. Right teaching will produce right actions. See, dogs don't have cats. They produce dogs. And vice versa and all that kind of stuff. See, nature is fixed in that way. Now, when you listen to the right thing, when you listen to Jesus, it will produce the right thing. False preaching will produce rotten fruit, and false righteousness. Now the last thing, false preaching will produce wasted lives. Now a little later on, you're going to hear this down here in this Sermon on the Mount. Here's what he's going to say. In the end time, we're all sitting before God. He said, there's going to be people come up and say, we did wonderful things in your name. We built tabernacles and churches. We went and handed out shoes and clothes. We've handed out tracts on street corners. We did so and so and so and so. Do you remember what Jesus said, I will say to them? I will say to them, I don't know you. What they doing, was that righteous stuff? Sure. Everything that they talk about doing. He didn't say, you haven't done righteous stuff. But he said, I don't know you. Y'all not kid you. If you're going to kid yourself about anything, kid it about something else. Don't kid yourself about you and your relationship with God. Don't think you can snook it. Don't act the part of a fool. Because, see, don't just think, hey, I'm not going to pull that kind of act. I'm going to keep things straight between me and him. Yeah. Because he does say, I am going to come and check on you. I'm going to come check on you. So don't think, well, now he'll let me by for this, and I won't have to ever answer for this, and I won't have to ever answer for this. And I can think of scads and scads of sermons that I lost. I could have got credit for them if I'd have preached them for the right purpose. See, I've preached sermons sometimes hoping somebody will come up and say, boy, you're a good preacher. Now, when that was my purpose, I wasted that sermon because it's gone forever. And that's all I ever got out of it, and that's all I'll ever get out of it, is when somebody come up and says, boy, you sure preach good, sir. That's it. I could have got something from God out of it, but I'd have done it right. Jesus said, watch false preaching, prophets. Watch them. Don't pull them to you, because they produce bad righteousness, bad fruit, and a bad life. Wasted life. You just waste your life if you try to live the way they want you to. And since you're going to have to live till you die, why don't you just kind of utilize some of it and think, I believe we'll make it pretty good stuff. You can't. You only get one. So do the best that you can out there. And don't think your works and your words is the thing that really counts. Because hearing, and see, when many of you study the Revelation, each time he'll say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him listen up. Listen up. Do you ever sit in church sometimes and you think, there's something good in the Lord? Miss Sarah got up here this morning. She got up here. And she said, Robbie Moon starved herself to death for the people that she loved and for Jesus Christ. And that just hit me right in the heart. I thought, what if I loved him that much? Would it be like? You said, Jesse, I don't think I'd starve myself for him. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what would it be like if you loved him that much? What would it be like? I want to see her when I get there. Hey, two or three of them little old women I want to see. I want to see that little old woman that got that half penny. Got immortalized. I want to see that little old woman that come and wash his feet with her tears. Got him with her hair. You say, what in the world was that like? Frank sang a song this morning about Joseph probably holding Jesus at one time and saying, what in the world is going on? Can you imagine getting to hold the Son of God up in your arms and get to take care of him till he gets up big enough to go on his own? Can you imagine being able to do that? That'd blow your mind. And just think, I can do that. But see, the Christian life is a life that is something marvelous and wonderful. So don't mix it up with a bunch of baloney out there somewhere. Just think, if I'm going to live it, I'm going to live it. And you'll be amazed at what you'll get out of it. Anybody got a word you'd like to say before we go? Come on up here, Ellie, while he's talking. Come on. Get her a mic.